My name is Victor Kubik. Welcome to another edition of Inside United. For context, today is March 17, 2020. We are in the midst of the coronavirus crisis, COVID-19. The virus has been infecting the entire world. It has not brought huge casualties yet. We don't know exactly what will happen. Potentially, millions of people could die. There is no bulwark against it, no vaccine yet. The entire world right now is focused on it, and we're in somewhat of a wartime atmosphere. Nations are locked down. Stock market is reacting very violently as it's crashing. People live in fear. We are not allowed to go to church, go to a restaurant, and every day brings new rules and regulations. Where is this all leading? Is there a silver lining to this? From Edmonton, Canada, we have Dr. Dan Barrent, a family physician of 35 years experience. He is a frontline healthcare worker for the COVID-19 pandemic in Canada. So welcome to our program.
Well, hi, Vic. It's great to be with you. Hope you're doing well.
What do you think is going to happen now in the next few months? I mean, we're here on virtual lockdown already in the United States, and every day there's a new rule. What are we to expect over the next few weeks and months?
There are many different scenarios, and of course, as I appreciate over the course of my career, there are people that dedicate their lives to try and help others and try and mitigate the worst case scenarios. And just you mentioned them, we were canceling meetings, canceling flights and sports events, schools. There's this term out there now called social distancing. All of these efforts, they're put in place in order to mitigate the worst effects of a pandemic hitting a population. And so I think as we see the next 2 or 3 weeks go along, and I think it's very, very important. Now we have a very narrow window of opportunity as a community, as a society, to step up and understand why the public health authorities are saying what they're saying, why they're telling us to break the chain. And that's what the goal is to break the chain of transmission of this virus between human beings. And so it's up to us. If we all do this together, we can prevent our hospitals and healthcare facilities from being overwhelmed. And that's the real goal of public health planning here. But I think in the next little while, Vic, you're going to see lots of topsy-turvy. Probably the biggest thing is anxiety and some panic. But if we just sit still and understand why it depends on a community effort, and take the time and be patient with it all, we just need to understand this is about putting the collective good above the self.
Well, one thing in our conversations that we've had, you know, by telephone is that there's a silver lining, or there's at least, if we take a look at what good has been done, it is really awesome as to what public health authorities, public health efforts have done and how they have been able to be there and working with politicians as well, because they're the ones who have to communicate this information through a sea of a lot of politics involved with it. And yet what's coming through really here is that people together are saying, look, our planet is being threatened by something that is affecting every human being. And it's wonderful to see people pulling together and listening to the voices of those who can help us survive.
Well, you know, Vic, we're all in the same boat. And what affects one person on one side of the boat will come to the other side of the boat. And, you know, right now, of course, the public health efforts are put in place to slow this down. You know, this first wave of infectivity and sickness, if we can slow it down, if people all band together, this is why it's called public health, because it's up to us, the public, to actually embrace this and do this together. We can slow this wave down and slow it down to the point where we'll see it, of course, possibly wax and wane over a few months. It may come again, a second wave. But doing this until an effective vaccine can be mass produced, you know, that's the plan. And that, if that's possible, would potentially snuff it out before too many people have to die. I mean, I just take my hat off to all these public health planners and the people in charge that who do have the authority to help us all in society.
Well, Dan, one thing that people have asked is, why is the coronavirus so different from so many other strains of disease, and why it's wreaking havoc so far, not in, you know, people dying, but in the disruption of society completely?
Well, you know, there's a lot of people, even just a few days ago or a week ago, were kind of poo-pooing this as if it's just another cold. However, the planet has never experienced this type of cold because no one has immunity against it. It's a novel virus. And for some people, it can cause respiratory distress and acute lung failure. So the important thing to realize here is that it's rather a large mistake to compare the COVID-19 virus with even influenza in our community, in a sense, because probably 25 to 30% of our community right now have had the flu shot, the influenza shot, this year. So they're protecting us. They can't get it if it's a strain of influenza that comes around. So first of all, that's dampening down our exposure, and we won't get the flu if somebody else can't transmit it to us. So that's in place. Plus, with influenza, for example, history has allowed our immune systems to gain some immunity from various mutations, various subtypes of influenza, so that we do have some experience in our immune systems. The difference is with COVID-19 is that none of us have any experience trying to fight off this unique virus. So it could all hit us once, and that would overwhelm our system.
Right. So much depends upon how many respirators there are. There's no vaccine yet, but just how to keep people breathing, you know, if there was an overwhelming number of people that needed to have support systems.
Yes, Vic. And you know, the collateral damage, if we all, and this is what's happening right now, it happened in Italy, but right now in Canada, and they're canceling operating room time, they're canceling operations and such in order to free up operating rooms to become ICU rooms where the respirators are. So the ICUs at any one given time in hospitals are operating at near full capacity. So in order to have more space for people who are getting sick, they are clearing the deck, so to speak, in the hospitals and getting ready with every respirator machine possible. But beyond that, you know, if you have a heart attack or you have sort of the normal things happen, like a stroke, if hospitals are overwhelmed, you see, Vic, then you can't get the normal care that you would get on an average day if you arrive at the emergency department with a heart attack or a stroke. So the collateral damage magnifies if our hospitals are overwhelmed with this crisis.
It seems like the strategy right now, the tactic, is to break the back of the virus. As in a way, it appears that's what's happened in China, although there's a concern about other waves of it coming, and there still is no vaccine, but that has somewhat been mitigated by the fact that it's slowed down by almost imposing martial law in China. I mean, we've talked to people in China that, you know, they're basically locked in their rooms. They can only get out every other day for an hour or two to go to the store. And, you know, there's been a massive effort to stem the spread of this virus. But I'd like to turn to what we can do and what we can learn from all this, Dan. I know that in addition to being, you know, a physician, as you are, that you are also an elder who's been an elder for 20 years and has a part in caring for the church, the United Church of God in Edmonton. But what lessons are we learning, and what can we do that really shows a side of us perhaps that we've had dormant too long?
Yeah, Vic, you know, if you step back from it, of course, we do see that we're living in this conflicted world of good and evil. You know, and many times it's just easier to recognize evil, much easier to recognize evil than it is to recognize good. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you can just, there it is, war is evil, genocide, you know, tyranny, child abuse is evil. All of these things are pushed right into our face with media these days. But, you know, we find it hard sometimes to see the good. And I would say one of the very best good things I've ever seen humans do is planned to alleviate suffering of other humans. And, you know, that's what a public health program is all about. It's a program devised by human beings to protect other human beings. They protect the society's most vulnerable. I mean, the book of James comes to mind, Vic, because he calls it pure religion. Pure religion is to visit and care for the fatherless and widows in their suffering and in their plight. And you know, some people, I guess, as an elder in the church, I can understand some people in society being turned off by religion. But I know so many people that would recognize this as good. You know, people planning to protect other people, they recognize this as good. And you know, this is the religion they understand.
We really applaud the work of public health and what they do. But as we get to pure religion, we get more to what other individuals can do, how other individuals can help. And already in the church, people are asking, how can I help? What focus should we have towards people who are vulnerable, you know, in our midst? Because the United Church of God has a very high percentage of people who are, you know, 65 years and older. Maybe you could give us some a little spotlight on what the church, those of us who are younger, and I'm the early side of the 70s, can do to be helpful.
First of all, I think that we understand, and we should all understand, that we have to take personal responsibility to stay calm. Staying calm is one of the very best things we can do to help people, because we have people who have tendencies towards anxiety and panic around us. I would say take a positive and practical, pragmatic stand on this. I think the important thing to understand is there's a lot of unproven fake news and quackery out there. So it's important for us to reject that and embrace what we know is true, and that is evidence-based science from the public health authorities. That's very important, because that's where the truth is, you know, and certainly we know that from the Bible, we're told to prove all things and hold fast that which we can prove, and that's true. We know this is reproducibly true. We've actually seen it happen in other countries, so now we have to brace for it, you know. We all have to protect ourselves and each other. I think we need to recognize the legitimate authority given by government. It's well thought out. This is not something that has not been thought out. There's a very specific purpose for this, and it's for the well-being. It's for the common good, and we have to be able to push ourselves aside, you know, the inconveniences that we have to put up with. Well, let's just understand that breaks the chain of infectivity. What else should we think of during this time? Well, we understand that God's not the author of confusion, and so there has to be an orderly method here so that we can coordinate all of our efforts. Again, it's a public effort. It's a society effort. Shall we say it's humanity's effort to mitigate suffering here. And it's all based on the biblical principles of quarantine and hygiene and crowd control.
You know, as this thing has come forward, you know, as news has come out, and we've been called upon to get into the brace position. Others say, well, I don't know if we need to do it right now, or let's wait to see if we really are going to crash. It's so important for everybody to act together. And that's a very important part of getting through this thing together. And, you know, I get so many emails from all over the world ascribing this whole pandemic to some conspiracy, or to somebody who wants to get rid of the president, or somebody who wants to take over the world, or, you know, all types of strange, bizarre teachings. And I feel it's important, as one who is a Christian, to be able to properly show support for those who have knowledge, to have support to those who have been placed into those positions. And when I talk to you, I feel like I'm speaking to a voice of authority and not to somebody who has a fertile imagination.
You know, it's like I say, if we're in a boat, I mean, you can decide to either row in the same direction, all of you, or in opposite directions. You get nowhere if you row in opposite directions. And one thing I wanted to say too, especially for younger people, you know, both in our church and in society in general, this is a particular pandemic that is uniquely dangerous to people over the age of 70 or so, and those who have some comorbid conditions like diabetes and lung conditions, heart disease. And that's why you've heard governments, certainly several of the provinces here in Canada, have asked people over the age of 70 to simply stay at home indoors. And so that strategy is very important. Now, younger people have to understand that just because they get the sniffles or a scratchy throat or cold-like condition does not mean that they are just having a cold necessarily. This might be COVID-19 and they should self-isolate. And it's a huge opportunity for young people in general just to love your neighbor, you know, and to strategize how to be part of a solution instead of part of the problem of the chain reaction and carrying a virus, especially to an older person. And just get your heads together, young people. How can you be part of this solution right now by being able to say if an older person is running out of groceries, well, what you could do, you could drop some off on their front desk, on their front porch, rather. You don't go into the house, you drop it there, and then you let them take it in. So important that you take these things into account. I don't know about you, but I love the fact that we've got FaceTime and Skype. We can Skype and FaceTime our grandparents or that sort of thing. Now, I can Skype and FaceTime my grandchildren. So I like that. And at this point in time, that's the way to go, is spend more time with them on that sort of medium and realize that, you know, your scratchy throat still requires you to self-isolate. Okay. And so I think, you know, cancel the parties, young people. It's important to have all hands on deck in a very smart way.
My wife and I, this last weekend, you know, church was canceled, and we actually had more time to sit and talk to each other. We discussed these things in a calm way because we had no place to go. We were kind of with each other, and it was just helpful. And I feel that as we are going to go into a period of more cancellations and being self-isolated, but having the social, having the media to connect with, you know, a Duo or FaceTime or similar methods, that we can infuse good into that and be encouraging to one another, right?
Absolutely. I think, you know, this is such a great opportunity for us as Christians to recognize and champion some of the very, very best things that that please God about humanity. I mean, I think this is a time to look around and understand. This is about loving our neighbors. It's about the second greatest of the commandments, loving our neighbors. It's about wanting to give more than get and acting unselfishly, you know, for the common good. And we know that God's not willing that any perish. That's what the Bible says. And how big is that? You know, and we understand, and we can just stand in awe of that because we understand that there's only one ransom and he paid it. So we can all, I think, appreciate that humanity is something that God loves so much. We ought to step back and see that we need to develop more love for humanity too, I think.
You know, my parents came through World War II, and they talked about how in times of great stress, how people pull together. And there are wonderful stories of sacrifice and friendship that go on from generation to generation. So it has been absolutely wonderful talking to you and hearing your thoughts as a specialist, as one who really is involved with the COVID crisis in Canada with the public health system. Thank you all for joining us on Inside United. Please listen regularly to our podcasts. We do about one per week and maybe more if it's necessary to communicate some of these things. Please tell your friends about us. You can write to us at podcast@ucg.org and tell us about this podcast or anything else that you'd like to hear about. You can find us easily on the homepage of ucg.org. Click on the podcast button on the main menu bar or add us to your favorite podcasting app on Apple or Android. So until next time, Dr. Dan, thank you for being with us. We really appreciated your being here.
Take care, my friend.
Thank you for joining us on Inside United. Come back soon for more.
This is a production of the United Church of God. For more, visit ucg.org.